I'm going to speak to the adults now. Now, I did have something prepared in case we had any small children who came. If you get bored partway through, you can do this that I've prepared. What I was going to ask the small children to do was to fill in some smiley faces and then write on the back the things that make them happy. So, I shall bring these over here within reach, and if you get very bored, please feel free. So you may have noticed this morning that we've been concentrating on the positive things, the good things about God, and our thankfulness to him for all his goodness. So we've been thinking, as Paul said in the reading, about things which are true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, and praiseworthy. Great words. And we've been thinking about these things because it seems to me that good things don't get much airtime in everyday life. I wonder if you find, as I do, that one glance at the news is enough to really sink your spirits. We seem to have moved from some years ago where we would just have some brief looks at war-torn parts of the world into a position where we really dwell on everything that's bad. So we've got our 24-hour news channels. We've got our mobile devices so that we can check out the news every minute. And it seems as if we instantly share in horror and drama all the time. And we aren't just told about a bad situation once, we're told about it again and again with great in-depth coverage. And it seems to just constantly highlight the pain and the suffering that people are going through. Obviously, it's good to be aware of what goes on in the world, but I don't think it's good the way our news constantly emphasises what's negative and picks over every last bit of pain. We may as well rename our news programmes the bad news. And our spirits are actually affected by negativity. Last Sunday, Nick was talking about the promises of God, and one of the ones he read out was from John's Gospel, where Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives." Well, I wonder if, like me, you struggle sometimes to think, well, how is this peace possible, given that we constantly hear how dreadful the world is? And that's why I think these words from the Apostle Paul, even though there's a gap of about 2,000 years, really give us an insight into how to respond to modern life, how to stay sane in an insane world. What did he say? Well, he said, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Rejoice. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And then the peace of God will guard our hearts and our minds." And I think Alan said last week that that verse was one of his favourite verses from the Bible, this promise of God's peace that will guard our hearts and minds. But how do we get there? And I think the clue is in what Paul says. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Think about such things. Our minds are powerful. Scientists have apparently discovered that there are networks connecting our brains to the bits of our bodies that control stress. So, in a very real way, our thoughts can affect our well-being. And constant negativity really doesn't do us any good. So I think on a very simple level, if we follow Paul's advice in these verses, we actually might live a healthier life. Rejoicing in the Lord obviously means we take time to think about God's goodness to us. We deliberately dwell on what God has done for us, on his work of salvation. Thanking God means we concentrate our minds on his blessings. We think about what's positive, not what's negative. And if we deliberately fill our minds with all the true, noble, right, pure, lovely, and admirable things, we're probably more likely to have a cheerful outlook and to be inclined to do good. When Paul says, think about these things, it carries the meaning of think about these things in such a way that they actually shape you, they shape who you are. I don't know if anybody here ever listens to the Chris Evans Breakfast Show on BBC Radio 2. Yes, all people about my age are nodding at that point. The other week, I happened to tune in, and he had a session on random acts of kindness. I don't know if anybody heard this. It was quite amazing. He got people to email in with stories of random acts of kindness that they'd seen done to other people, or that they'd experienced done to themselves. And it was amazing. You just heard all these wonderful things that people were doing for each other. And I find my spirits lifted. It was like a physical sensation. I could feel my spirits lift. But I also felt encouraged to act in a better way myself. And that kind of leads me to the major point, because this isn't just talking about positive thinking, because you don't need to be in church to hear a message on positive thinking. But I think it's important because there is very much a spiritual dimension to this, to the power of thought. Jesus said, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly." And the Bible tells us, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. It seems to me that there is a stealthy spiritual attack going on in our nation. Because if we constantly dwell on what's negative or controversial or shocking, over time, surely that just leads to depression, despair, and a tendency to treat others in a negative way. It doesn't lead to the abundant life that Jesus referred to. Our mental health does not flourish under a constant diet of gloom and horror. The godly things lift our spirits and encourage us to live in a better way. And noble, right, and lovely, and admirable things are still around. I think as Christians, perhaps the challenge for us is whether we're going to speak up for those things. We know that gospel means good news. And at the heart of it, even if we really are struggling and suffering, we can talk about the good news of Jesus and his salvation. But I think perhaps on a wider scale, we should be the sort of people who speak about what's positive and good, kind of sprinkling the salt of joy through what's often a prevailing mood of gloom. So I'd like to give us a few pointers for everyday life, for staying sane and counteracting the devil's work. And the first point is, be wise. So when the news is always doom and gloom, you might want to just take a step back and say to yourself, is this a genuine news story? Or is it slanted to present everything in the worst possible light? If it is genuine, then have I now got enough information to pray or to act without having to dwell any further on the pain? Do I need to watch this interview with this person in distress? Or is it time to simply turn off the TV or turn off the news app? So be wise. Turn pain to prayer. What I'm definitely not trying to say this morning is that we live in some sort of la-la world where everything's nice and we pretend the world's not the sort of place it is, because it is a very tough place and there is horrible suffering in it. God cares about those things, and we've heard in our series on prayer that prayer matters. So I would suggest that when there is a genuine disaster or something genuinely horrible happens and we're shocked and we're upset, that we channel those emotions into prayer. Channel those emotions into heartfelt prayer so that we bring these suffering situations to God. And let's get in the habit of doing that so that we don't just get left with negative emotion, but we do something with it. We speak to our Father in heaven. Thank God for what is good. We've done that this morning. Let's try and make it a habit. I believe that some people find first thing in the morning a very positive experience. I'm not one of those people. What I try to do, though, is to thank God for something as I wake up and think, oh no, I've got to get out of bed. I then try and just thank God for something. And if we can get into that habit of thanking God first thing in the morning, during the day, looking back at the end of the day and thanking God for the good things, then it helps us again to dwell on God and his goodness and to counterbalance the bad things. Speak well. We should be people who speak of what is good. I was chatting to some friends about this the other week. They don't go to church, but they knew exactly what I was talking about. And one of them said, well, you know, let's face it, every day, thousands of planes fly through the air and they don't crash. Families enjoy time together. People laugh. Kindness is shown. These things happen every day. So let's speak about them. Let's get into the habit of sharing good stories with the people we work and relax with. And of course, let's look for opportunities to speak of Jesus, because the Bible tells us to always be ready to give a reason for the hope that is in us. So let's speak well. Okay, my zappers just stopped zapping. There we go. And then think well. Now, obviously, coming to church is a place where we think about God, we think about good things. And I don't know about you, but I've really enjoyed recently when people have talked about the great things that God has been doing in their lives. It's tremendously encouraging to hear that. But we need to learn how to fill our minds with good things in the rest of the week as well. And that might mean avoiding books or programs or computer games that you know are going to drag you down. And if we have a job that exposes us to suffering, maybe we need to make sure we build fun into our lives, find things that make us laugh. Try and make sure we have friends or family that we can share our burdens with so that we don't carry things alone. And then, of course, we need our own time spent in God's word, where we hear about God's goodness and we think about these great and joyful things and salvation. So these are a few suggestions for staying sane in an insane world, which is what the title that kind of went through my mind when I was thinking about these things. And I hope that we will recognise in the days ahead that there is a spiritual battle going on, but we have a role to play as children of light, to bring light into a dark world, to speak of God's goodness through the ways we think and speak and behave, to show God's love and the hope that there is to those around us. Amen.